Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, today we're going to talk about boundaries, and this impacts not only married couples, but also singles, okay? And so we're going to talk about what boundaries are. But when I was in Bible college, I remember the news broke. So that was back, do I have to tell you when that was? That was back in the late 80s. So back then, remember in Bible college, and the breaking news was about Swaggart and his lack of boundaries and some of the things that happened within his own life. It really was the collapse of his ministry, which was huge, not only here in the States, but also just with missions and everything like that. So that happened, and then right on the heels of that was Jim Baker with PTL, and my mom actually went to Bible college with him for 1 year, but there was just some huge issues there, and that was kind of the collapse of that. And so I remember that happening when I was at Bible college, and so there was a lot of emphasis just upon boundaries, but also just about protecting one's life, your witness, your marriage, your Christian witness. So today, what are some, just looking at, I think we've almost become numb to some of the things that are happening in the news today. If you were to open up the newspaper, you look on your computer, you get your phone, you have the news notifications coming through. It seems like every day, right? We're having issues, scandals, breaking news. So just in the last couple of weeks, one was the Larry Nassar, right, trial that is happening. He was with Michigan State, physical therapist, worked with Olympic athletes, especially the ladies gymnasts, but also with the Michigan State athletes there. But over 150 young ladies have come forward saying that he had sexually abused them while doing treatments with them. At some point in his profession, he crossed a boundary of being professional to where he was, following his own desires, sexual desires, and things like that. And that's a difficult area. We have a son that's going into physical therapy, and I was kind of thinking about the message, and we talked about that. Been in the hospital with my dad the last few days, when you're a nurse, you're dealing with people that don't have clothes on, and you're helping them do things. So there's a lot of room for to cross boundaries, but you have to keep things professional. The Nashville mayor, Megan Berry, I don't know how many saw this. It came through on Twitter, and so I just happened to notice that. But she, the mayor of Nashville, but she had an affair with her bodyguard. And he was retired from the police force, so he was recognized. He was a man of stature in their community. But then he was in charge of her security detail. He got involved in an affair. And she says, I accept full responsibility to the pain that has caused my family and his family. But it's obviously caused some stress. And who knows if those marriages will end in divorce or what will result from that. But that happened just here the first part of February. So it has been said that most people don't go out and say, hey, I'm going to go commit adultery or I'm going to have an affair. Okay? Most people don't do that. For most people, it happens very gradually, and the boundaries aren't in place. And so at some point, usually in a moment of weakness, when we're not expecting it, we cross that boundary, and then all of a sudden feelings get involved, and then you can't stop the snowball, okay? A snowball is pretty easy to stop when it's small, right? About that big. Gets this big from here to the ground, then it's pretty hard to stop, isn't it? And that's what happens when our emotions, when our feelings get involved. Even when you're dating, that's why you have to have boundaries when you're dating. There's some things you can do and some things you can't do, because if you don't have boundaries, you're going to end up in the wrong place, right? And doing the wrong things, and then you have consequences from those things. So what are boundaries? Well, we use boundaries or fences for several things. First of all, they protect the good, right? So some of you have fences around your yard, okay? Why? Well, you want to probably keep your pet in there, right? You don't want them to wander off. Or maybe you have young children, so you don't want them to wander off and they can be in the yard, but you don't have to worry about them wandering off. They're protected, right? And so we put fences around things that we want to protect and keep them there. And so we want to protect the good. We also use fences to keep bad things out, so ranches or things like that, or even just in our own personal yards, we have fences or boundaries to keep bad people out, right? Or bad wolves or coyotes or things like that. We use those fences to keep bad things out. And then we also use them for markers to establish territory. Okay, this is my land, that's not my land, okay? Things where we can go, so those boundaries. In our context, we're gonna use the term boundary to mean a self-imposed limit that will not be crossed because there are dangerous possibilities on the other side, okay? These boundaries protect us from moments of weakness or times when we are vulnerable. They're designed to keep us away from situations where we could be tempting, harming our marriage and our Christian witness. All right? So, I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 7. And we're going to begin there. We're going to read this passage together. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. I like how it states it a little bit better. And we'll talk about that, and then we're going to go into some boundaries we can put in place. So Solomon is writing to his son. That's the way it's Proverbs is written, okay? So he's writing to his son. We don't know if his son is married or not, but he's giving him some advice. Verse 1, he says, "Follow my advice, my son, and always treasure up my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder." Now, tie reminders on your finger. Some of you maybe do that. Some of you put post-it notes on your fridge or on the bathroom mirror or the refrigerator, right? Okay. Tie them as a reminder. Write them deep in your heart. So you're literally not going to do that, but you're going to have some kind of reminders. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman. Okay. From listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. Okay, promiscuous would be one that doesn't obey the vows she's made to her husband. So, and this can go both ways here, folks. You could interchange these. "While I was at the window of my house," Solomon says, looking through the curtain. So he's up on his maybe second or third story and he's looking through the window. What does he see? He says, "I saw a naive young man, and one in particularly who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of the immoral woman." Okay? So there must have been news on the street that, hey, there's a woman there that is immoral, okay? She likes to get involved with people other than her husband. "And so strolling down that path by her house, it was twilight in the evening," okay? You notice that a lot of things happen at night or in the evening that normally wouldn't happen during the daylight because we want to do it under the secret of night, "as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart." So how is that seductively? Well, she probably was revealing more than she should have, and maybe was looking, smelled nice, dressed nice, had that look in her eye, and she was fishing, okay? All right. "She was brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and markets." And so this isn't just referring to a particular woman. It's more of a stereotype. "Soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, 'I've just made my peace offerings, fulfilled my vows.'" Wow, you know, she seems spiritual, doesn't she? "Now you're the one I'm looking for!" Exclamation mark. "I found you." I thought she found her husband, first of all. I bet that's what she said to him, huh? "My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets from Egyptian linen." All right, so even back then, Egyptian sheets and linen were a luxury, okay? "I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." Smells nice. "Come, let's drink of our fill of love until morning." All night long, okay? "Enjoy
I knew you guys would like that.
Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband, I thought it was carcasses. All right. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech, smooth words, and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter. Okay, you can picture that, right? Kyle's just going, moo, moo. Okay. Didn't know it hit him. An arrow that pierces his heart of a stag, okay, a wild deer in Europe. Or like a bird flying into a snare, not knowing it'll cost him his life. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Do not let your heart stray toward her. Do not wander down her path, her wayward path, for she will bring, she has been the ruin of many. So that's where we kind of see it's not a particular woman. It is more a situation that he's talking about, that many men have gone down this path, and many are the victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Okay? So we're not talking just the choices that and the decisions we make not only just affect our life immediately, but also can harm our soul. And her bedroom is the den of death. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in these moments we have together, I pray you take your word, apply it to our hearts this day. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about three areas that we can make boundaries in, okay? And the first one is we need to make boundaries to protect our Christian witness in our marriages. We must create boundaries that, first of all, protect our feet, okay? So you can write that in. All right. Are we recording, Chris? We're good? Yep. All right. So you want to protect your feet. What do I mean by protecting your feet? Well, you notice that the young man, he probably wasn't going to be tempted where he was at, but he crossed the street to where the woman lived. He'd probably heard rumors, reports. Oh, yeah, there's a woman over there that's a little promiscuous. Maybe had friends that went over there, and he goes, I just want to just check it out, right? I'm not going to do anything. I just want to see it for myself, right? Feet. You have to put boundaries to protect your feet. And the same would go for her as well. She left her house. Now, it's not, I don't want to build anything that she couldn't leave her house, but she was bored, wasn't she? Her husband was gone for a month. She's bored. She needed something to do. It didn't sound like she had a job, per se, but she could have went out there and done some Christian service, been part of her church or organization in the community, done some good, but she's bored. And so she wants to have fun, right? The song says, girls just want to have fun. Yeah, okay. All right. So she was one of those girls. She wanted to have fun. You know, in Samson, he was one of the judges. You'll find him in the book of Judges. In chapter 14, you'll hear about the story of Samson. But he was prophetically, it was prophesied he was going to be born, that God had plans for his life. He had Nazarite vows, so he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. He wasn't supposed to drink wine. And one other one. Touch anything dead, right? And that God was going to use him to bring deliverance from the Philistines. But you'll notice as you read through that story, Samson crosses boundaries he wasn't supposed to do, cross. And so he, to find a wife, he went into Philistine territories to the people he was supposed to defeat, and that's where he found his wife. Instead of finding a wife that loved God, who worshiped God, who knew God's ways, that was moral, he went to Philistine territory. Not just once, but several times. So he found a wife the first time, and ultimately that fizzled right away. And then Delilah, okay, she was the big one. She was kind of like a prostitute, and she lures him in, and ultimately he gives in his lack of judgment, and he isn't killed initially right away, but his eyes are gouged out. So if you want to just get some good reinforcement of the dangers of crossing boundaries, just read his story, and the part about gouging your eyes out, I think, kind of gets you. At least it does me. That's just kind of a brutal awakening. And so he, yes, there is a movie on Samson, yes. And so he crossed those boundaries, and it brought a lot of heartache to his life and to his family. So I want to talk about an example. So for men, what are some boundaries? Even while we were dating, we didn't talk much about this when we were talking about it, but even when we were dating, we had boundaries. So single people here, this applies to you, okay? Yes, you. Even now, you need to have boundaries in place. That when you're dating, you have those, okay, we'll do this, we won't do this, okay? Maybe we can give a kiss, but to make out, you know? When you make out, sometimes it starts hard to stop at a certain point, isn't it? Okay? And so you have to, when we were dating, we started to make our boundaries a little bit more stringent after we were engaged, just because it became harder to know where that boundary was at, right? Okay? We wanted to save the sexual part to marriage, and we did that, but we had to set those boundaries in place because she loved me and I loved her, okay? And when you do that, the natural thing, okay, is for that to lead to the sexual part, okay? So what are some boundaries for guys? There's maybe some places that you shouldn't go. And for all of us, it may be different, okay? So if you are a married man, or even if you're single and you go into a bar and, you know, there's a lot of singles, a singles bar or whatever the case may be, that's probably not the best place to be for your feet to take you. Why? Because you're putting yourself in a place of temptation. If you're in a bigger city or a prostitution or things like that, you probably shouldn't go there, right? I feel like traveling creates a bigger temptation for people because we're out of our comfort zone. We're in a place where people don't know us. And it's kind of like that kind of creates a situation of vulnerability. And so we have to be careful where we let our feet go. And so accountability partners are a way that we can maybe put those within our life, that we have other men that we can pray with, that we can say, hey, you know what, will you just make sure, check in with me, and I'll check in with you when we're traveling, that we're going to hold each other accountable, okay? Those are some things, so. I'm going to let her talk about women.
You know, I think for us, for women, a little bit of it is where we go, but probably more who our friends are, who we allow to talk to us, whose voices we listen to. So if we have friends who are going places or participating in activities that aren't so great for us, we need to be careful who we choose for friends, because they could really pull us down and drag us into situations that, where we don't want to be. I know that sometimes when we are feeling vulnerable, that's when, or when we're feeling weak, that's when we're the most vulnerable. So if we're angry at our husbands, we're vulnerable, okay? So we have to be extra careful.
She never gets mad at me.
I wish I could say that was true, but it's not. But, you know, sometimes I think we have to resist the urge to find our value in what a man thinks of us. We have to know that our value is coming from God. And sometimes that's really, really, really difficult to do. So it's for us, it's not only where we go, but it's what we fill our minds with, who we allow to talk to us. But it is where we go. So during the summers when I travel, I'm staying in a extended stay motel. That's where they put us up. And there are people there who are there for a couple weeks, and then they go home for a couple weeks, and then they come back for a couple weeks, and then they go home for a couple weeks, and they serve you dinner, and there's a happy hour, and it's designed to create a social environment with all the people who are staying there for their extended stay, just so you feel like you have a home away from home, which is fine if you're with a group of women friends. But if you aren't, there's a whole bunch of men out there who are away from their families for a couple weeks at a time. That, to me, has temptation written all over it. So one boundary I've set for myself is I never partake in the happy hour. And if I go to get some of the food there, I'm always with some of the other women that I'm traveling with. There's always a team of us that are together, and that's just a boundary I've set for myself because I'm afraid if I sit at a table and a man comes and sits down and we get to chatting and it becomes comfortable, and then we're gonna see each other the next day and the next day, that's just a bad situation. So I've just drawn a boundary around that just to protect where I go and who I hang out with.
All right. So those are some ways that we can protect our feet. And for all of you, you have to know your own limits. And there's some things that are just general boundaries that we all need to have in place. But at the same time, there's also some things that maybe just for our own selves, we know ourselves. You have to know yourselves. You have to know where Satan is going to come and tempt you. And so then you need to put those boundaries in place. Say, you know what? I just can't go there. Okay? So protect your feet where you walk. Number two is protect your Christian witness and your marriages. We must have clear boundaries that protect our feet and our eyes, right? Our eyes. The man in this story, first of all, he walked, right? His feet took him across the street. And then he sees her. All right? She's dressed to kill, right? Isn't that what it says? She's dressed promiscuously. She's dressed to kill. She's wanting to catch the attention of a guy. All right? She's probably showing more than she's supposed to be. She's probably dressed in bright colors. She's went all out, right? Job says in 31:1, the book of Job, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. So what are some examples? I think as a general rule, men, we need to have boundaries to protect our eyes, just as you wear eye protection, right, in the shop class, when you're working, cutting wood, or maybe using your chainsaw, you wear eye protection, right, to protect stuff getting in your eye, right? We also need to do that in our own just daily life. And it's not always easy, okay? Men are more visually stimulated than women are, okay? That's why pornography is such a big issue with men and not as much with women, although it has increased with women, okay? But men are just more visual, okay? I think God created women beautiful and gave men the appreciation to enjoy that and appreciate that, okay? Men, that's just the way we're wired. We're very visual. To look at a woman that is dressed nicely or if she's naked, okay, that's going to do things to a guy, okay? All right? Women, if you reverse that, it'll affect women, but not at the same degree. There's other things that affect women a lot more, okay? So what does that mean? It means that just you can't have a computer filter on your eyes, okay? All right? So you go to the grocery store and the magazine racks, and they have their, you know, all of them there, and unfortunately not all the women are dressed modestly on those. I was at the gym up in Mitchell this week, and, you know, the magazine racks, and of course the one with the ladies, you know, breasts are popping out, okay? Can I say that here? Yep. All right. And that's right in front, of course, right there. So it's kind of like, oh, you have to look that way. And so then I'm working out, and there's this lady probably in her 20s and 30s. And she's tall. She's an attractive lady. I'm just working out. And then she has too tight of shorts on, and she bends over. And it's kind of like, oh, can't look there. So you have to, there's a difference between noticing that somebody's attractive and lusting. And the difference is when you're gaze stays there. That's when the issue is. I call it bouncing the eyes. You see it? Oh, can't look there. We have to have that filter. You should have it on your computer or some kind of form of accountability, even more so maybe on your phones. And I just growing up with young boys, we have young boys, and just now our kids are coming up. And it's one thing guarding a computer, but now how do you guard all this? And how do you guard what their friends text them? So it's a difficult age that we live in. We have to remember that just as like sex outside of marriage is sin, so is lust. Jesus equated it with adultery, okay? He says if you lust, so that's that strong attraction, coveting that, then that becomes lust. So I believe there is a difference between noticing a woman as attractive and then lusting after her. So you have to set boundaries and know your limits as a man. So there's a book that came out a few years back, probably several years, Every Man's Battle, talks about really about that with the visual side of things. And I liked one of the illustrations. So this is for the married men out there and the future married men, is that he just talked about, you know, my wife hates it when I snack on things before dinner. Well, why? Because she's working to get dinner ready, right? And she wants me to be hungry and not full from eating snacks. But men do that a lot visually. oh, we look at feast on that. Boy, she looks pretty good. And we feast on that. Boy, she looks pretty good. We feast on that. And we look up, computer, whatever. And then we get home, and our attention isn't focused on our wife because we've been snacking all day. And that's an illustration that just kind of really connected with me, in that as men, if we protect our eyes and just keep it totally on our wife, it's going to change the marriage relationship because our desire is going to be for her. Does that make sense? We could spend probably the whole message on this one, but I'm going to turn it over here.
By the same token, ladies, we have to give them something to look at, right? Some people don't like to do that, but we need to do that. Oops. Okay, I put my hand on here, so let me find where I'm at again. There we go. Okay. There's, I think, like he said, we could do a whole message on that. There's a lot here. I think one of the things, as Christian women, we're going to look at this differently than women who are not Christians, because we can look at how God made a man, and we can be thankful that God made him the way he did. God made him that way for a reason. But we need to be aware of how God made men and make sure that we are not an instrument of Satan to tempt a man or cause him to stumble. And I think as Christian women, we have a huge responsibility. You know, he said it, that we are not visual. And I think that by our nature, we aren't really. But I think our society is training women to be more visually stimulated. So I think that's why we're starting to see an increase in women having pornography addictions and women lusting after a man, looking at him. I don't think that used to be as big of a deal as it is now. I think our society and our culture and our media and our entertainment is training us to do those kinds of things. So we know that pornography can be addictive to women, so we're going to stay away from it. It's just, we're not going there. One thing that was really interesting to me, is I listen to a podcast sometimes in the mornings, and it's a man, and he was talking this week about, he's a Jewish man, he's not a Christian man, he's conservative, but he's Jewish, and he was talking about how Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is coming up, and he was talking about the impact that has on men, and of course, most men are the ones who buy Sports Illustrated, and in his words, men are going to respond to what they see in two ways. The first way is by instinct, and the second way is by reason. Okay, so instinct would be the way God created them to be, which is, there's a beautiful woman, I'm going to look at her. That's what instinct says. And then reason might take over, right? So you might say, okay, can't, I've got to bounce my gaze, and they move their gaze or whatever. But the first thing that's going to happen is their instinct, and then they have to respond to their instinct. So he said that's why Sports Illustrated came up with the swimsuit edition, and that's why all of these ads in men's magazines feature scantily clad women, because they know that men are going to respond to that. It's going to be something that they like. So what's interesting, though, and the way this really affects us, is that he said in this next issue, the next swimsuit edition that is coming out is going to feature a lot of naked women. Now, he doesn't know if they're going to be overweight women or model-looking women. He doesn't know. But all he knows is that they're going to feature naked women who are saying that they are empowered, that they are so empowered that they have the confidence to stand there and be naked. And the whole thing was shot by women. See, we are so strong. We are so amazing. We can make our own naked photo shoots to put in this magazine. And men, how dare you treat us badly? How dare you cross the boundaries and abuse us? We can do whatever we want to do. And that's what our society is telling us right now. They're saying that I, as a woman, I can dress however I want. I can act however I want. And as a man, you better not cross the line. And if you do, I'm going to bring you to court. And I'm not excusing men who do anything wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, as Christian women, I think we have a responsibility to respect how God made the men. And some of that comes with how we choose to dress. And so we have to be careful. Our society is pushing this body positivity image that I am positive about my body, so therefore I can dress however I want. Okay, I agree with it in the sense that your value comes from who you are and from God. It doesn't come from how you look. So if you are overweight, you are no less valuable than somebody who by society standards looks wonderful. So in that sense, yes, let's all hang on to body positivity. But that doesn't mean that we go flaunting what we have and then expect the men to deny that instinct that God has placed within them. So I hope that makes sense. The Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And any way that we dress is a reflection of the Holy Spirit. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ, not only to the women that we're around, but also to the men. And as Christians, the last thing we want to do is cause a man to stumble because of something that we did. So I just encourage all of us to understand how God has made men and to respect them with how we dress, but also to recognize that what we look at for ourselves, we have to be careful for our own temptations and not to look at things we shouldn't.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. Men are visual, and that's to see their wife or whatever it's arousing, if we can put it that way. But you made that interesting comment to me last night, is that when she notices that my gaze is on her, that kind of accomplishes the same thing for her when she knows that she has my heart. That's arousing for her to know that she can sense that I see that she's beautiful. Does that make sense? All right. The third area we need to put boundaries on is our heart. You'll notice that there's a progression in our story. He steps across the street with his feet. He then sees her, right? And if we can have those preliminary boundaries, we'll never get to this one where we have to deal with the heart. But sometimes we do have to have boundaries for the heart, too. But if we have those preliminary boundaries in place, a lot of times it will erase the area of having boundaries for our heart. But there's a progression. He crosses the street with his feet. He sees her. And then she just seduces him, and it's a done deal, right? Because his heart is engaged. He's hooked. And he does something that is unwise, that he's been warned against. And we don't know the ramifications because this is it's a metaphor. It's given as that. But Solomon does say that it's going to lead to death. And I think there's many ramifications of that. It could even mean his personal. You mess around with a married woman, you don't know what's going to happen. How often do you open up the paper and find out somebody's killed because of an affair, right? So it can literally cost your life. It can cost your family. It can cost your marriage. And it can cost your soul. So what are some of the things? With the heart, I'm thinking about that we just need to be professional in what we do. Even with our friendships, and in our work, okay, some of us are in work where we're meeting with people of the opposite sex, that you have to have some professional boundaries in place, okay? As a doctor or a teacher, as a pastor, okay? In your place of work, you have to have some boundaries in place because some of those people are your friends, those people that you hang out with. And so you have to have those boundaries in place to protect your heart. So Mike Pence, he's our vice president for our country right now. And he was, during the election process, he was mocked by the media. Why? Because one of his boundaries is he will not have lunch with a lady alone, other than his wife. And so the media just thought, oh, that's funny, you know? They made fun of him. But he's put that boundary in place. Why? Because not only you have to protect your heart because you might develop a relationship, but he's also protecting himself from accusation, isn't he? He's protecting himself from accusation. Jay and Andy and I, we all work in the schools a little bit. We just talked about boundaries there because we've known that boundaries have been crossed. Even in that professional environment, there are boundaries that can be crossed and it causes issues. So you just have to have those boundaries in place. I think especially with friends, that your conversation doesn't get too personal. Okay, you know, if your guys are talking with guys, women with women, that's one thing. But when you're talking with the opposite sex, you have to make sure your conversation doesn't get too personal. Oh man, you know, our marriage isn't going well. And so you start unloading to this lady friend, maybe his best friend's wife or something. You start sharing all, yeah, it's not going well. Maybe it's not going well in the bedroom. Maybe we're fighting or other things. All of a sudden they start unloading all that stuff. And the other person says, yeah, it's kind of the same thing here, you know. Ah, also now there's this emotional bond that is developed because you've crossed a boundary, an emotional boundary. And so I even think with friendships, in our church we give a lot of hugs, right? And usually when I hug people, I do this, okay? And it's not, if I do that, I'm not trying to be impersonal when I hug, okay? But I do that just as a boundary, okay? Because we can all be vulnerable at times. I think of a lady, this was early on in ministry for us, that this lady had a sister, and so the sister drove from a nearby community, led her to the Lord. She was not living for God, led her to the Lord. She accepted Christ, but her husband wouldn't come to church. So we prayed for the husband, prayed. On Easter Sunday, he comes, he commits his life to Christ, he's a new creation. I mean, it was just a dramatic change in his life. God answered our prayers. Amen? Everybody's excited, and all of a sudden, then it's kind of like, oh, something's not right. Well, in that process of praying for the husband, and he wasn't coming to the Lord, she started developing an online relationship. And folks, this was back 15 years ago. She started developing this online relationship with a guy that she didn't know, but she knew him from online. She developed that relationship. So now God has answered her prayer. Her husband is saved. He wants to work on their marriage. He had bad magazines and videotapes. He got rid of all that. God answered her prayer, but you know what? Her heart now was entwined with this other fellow that she only knew from a distance. And I remember sitting down with her and I said, in her name, we'll call her Sue, yes. I said, Sue, I went through Scripture, and she knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong with God, with Scripture. She knew what she was doing was wrong, but there was nothing that was going to change her mind. And she left. She left her kids. She had three kids. Left her husband. Left. I think it was Nevada or someplace. Left. She was gone 2 months. After that 2 months, she realized, wrong decision, right? Now, by the grace of God, her husband allowed her to come back. And I think because he realized his own mistakes early on, and he hadn't been a perfect person. But by the grace of God, she came back. I renewed their wedding vows. It was a pretty miraculous thing that took place. And God began to heal their marriage. They ended up making a fresh start in Arizona. But I just remember when you open up your heart in that door to temptation, there becomes a certain place where there's no turning back, and even though you know that it's wrong. The boundaries are there so that you never get to that place, because once your emotions get involved, there's no turning back. You follow me? All right.
So, just real life example, a couple months ago, I had to go to Kearney for a meeting, and it was just myself and another man who were going to this meeting, and I knew we would be going out to lunch. It was one of those lunch on your own type things, so I just made sure I told Brent, hey, I'm so-and-so and I are, tomorrow we're going to be driving to Kearney, lunch is going to be on our own, it's going to be just two of us, I just want you to know about that, do you have any questions about that? And he didn't, it was nothing that was in secret. He knew I would be out with a man, and as it turned out, we grabbed a few other people and went out as a group, but I didn't know ahead of time. But that was just something where we just kept the communication open as a boundary, just as a boundary. I think a big thing for us as women when we talk about boundaries is touch. And I remember we'd been married 2 years, and that was it, 2 years. We were still newlyweds, and he could do no wrong, right? But my friend was getting married, and I was playing the piano. And so the night before the wedding, we were practicing, and there was a young man who was the singer, and I was playing the piano. And I was sitting at the piano bench playing the piano, and he came and sat down by me at the bench. and he just kind of snuggled right up next to me. It wasn't being bad other than the fact that his shoulder was touching my shoulder. That was it. And I remember the thought that went through my mind was, oh, that's kind of cool. And that was the first time since we'd been married that I had any kind of disloyal thought toward my husband at all. And it freaked me out. I mean, I was angry. I was so mad at this guy for having touched me, even though it was a relatively innocent touch. I was angry at him. I was angry at myself that this thought would even enter my mind. And it taught me two things. One is that I'm just as vulnerable as anybody else. And number two was how big of a deal touch is for us. So I would say that we need to be careful on giving touch to men. And if we have a man in our life who is not our husband, who's touching us a lot, we need to put up some pretty big boundaries, because that would be an area of weakness for us. Remembering that forbidden fruit always looks better, but usually it's rotten. That's why it's forbidden. So don't be afraid to put up boundaries. You're not being silly. It's not a lack of being a strong woman. It's being a woman who loves God and loves her marriage or her relationships or her purity or wherever you are in life. You love it enough to set up those boundaries that will keep you exactly where you want to stay.
Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come, and we're going to wrap things up here. We put boundaries in place because we have something that's worth protecting. You have a marriage. You have a family. You need to put those boundaries in place to protect what God has given you. Amen? If you're single, maybe in high school, maybe in college, put boundaries in place, because your Christian witness is important. And then someday you're going to give your heart to somebody else. Okay? And you want to protect it so that you can give it to them with not a lot of baggage. You can give them your heart completely. Amen? Would you stand? There's a story in the Old Testament about David. David was a great warrior, a great man of God. He was called a man after God in his own heart. As a young man, he would sit on the hillside and write psalms. Okay, many of the psalms we have in our Bible were composed on that hillside as he watched his father's sheep. He loved God. God exalted him. You know, he takes out a lion and a bear. He takes out Goliath. God exalts him. He had a couple wives. And then one day, he didn't go out to battle. He was age 40. They probably felt like he was more of a liability than a help at that time, and they didn't want him hurt. He was probably bored. He wanted to be where the action was. And he went for a stroll on his balcony that overlooked the city, a beautiful view. But this day, as he looked off that balcony, he happened to see a lady. She was bathing. They didn't have the indoor showers like we do. She was bathing, and instead of bouncing his eyes and saying, oh, I probably better go back in, he stared. And she captured his gaze to the place that he engaged his heart. He invited her to the palace. They were intimate. He thought nothing of it. He thought it was a done deal, until one day he gets the word, hey, I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. Her husband was off fighting the battles. He was on the battlefield, one of David's great men. And he slept with his wife. So to cover it up, he goes, I have to do something. So to cover it up, he tells his commander, put him in the front of the line and then pull back. And so Bathsheba's husband was killed in battle at the hands of David, ultimately. David thought, well, now I got that taken care of. This man's out of the way. He has plans to marry Bathsheba because she was now a widow. He could legally do that. And Nathan the prophet comes and exposes his sin. They would end up having the child, but the boy would die. Even though David fasted and he prayed that God would spare the child, it would die. But also Nathan the prophet shared that, you know, because of his sin, there was going to be division and fighting within the family, and it happened. You have a son that would rape his stepsister. You'd have one of David's sons that would try to take the throne from him and run him out of town, Absalom. He had all this tension. It was all because of this event that where David didn't have some boundaries in place for his eyes, for his heart, and the destruction that followed. So the last thing I have for us is, what boundaries do you have within your life to protect your marriage, your family, your Christian witness? What boundaries do you have in place to protect your feet, your eyes, your heart? The words of wisdom from Proverbs are not meant to limit our fun. It's to protect what we have that's precious so that we can enjoy God's abundant life and His blessing and His favor. Amen? It's to protect what's valuable. So let's just bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, You've given us a precious gift. You've given us the gift of a family, of husbands, of wives, of children. All that is worth protecting. But Lord, we need to have boundaries in place that help us protect those things, because we're all human and we're all tempted at times to cross that line, to cross into area where we could be tempted and all that we've worked for, all that we've planned can be destroyed in a moment, in an instant. And Lord, I believe that You're speaking to people right now, just boundaries that they need to have within their own life. By Your Holy Spirit, we just pray. Lord, let Your wisdom become evident to us. Help us to guard what is precious. We give You the thanks this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Would you join us in this course this morning? Just make that your prayer today.